All right, go ahead.
Okay, everyone. So good to see you all. Glad to get back to Joshua 13 today. And we are going to pick back up from verse 7 and just read verse 7 and 8. And we'll talk about a lot of what goes on from verse 8 through verse 12 here today. So, Joshua 13, verse 7, it says, "Now therefore, divide this land as an inheritance to the nine tribes and half the tribe of Manasseh, with the other half, the Reubenites and the Gadites received their inheritance, which Moses had given them beyond the Jordan eastward, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had given to them." And then it goes on from verse 9 to 12 to describe what that area was. So we're specifically talking about those two and a half tribes that stayed back, right? And now this passage is sort of describing what that area is. It's defining the geography that they held on to. And Assam today is going to really dig into those like two and a half tribes and what that meant. But before we do that, we find that the term inheritance is brought up. The word inheritance is brought up a couple times. And I thought it might be important to kind of go over what inheritance is in the reality of the situation, but really how it applies to us as believers. An inheritance is something that is left to you as an heir of something. So if you're a child, we know this, if you're a child, or a relative and someone passes on, they give to you as an inheritance something that they left. Now, sometimes people leave all things from money to debt, right? We hear that all the time. Sometimes actually somebody leaves behind debt. In this case, God was speaking to his children as about an area, a geographical area that he had set aside for them. And as we know, as we've been talking about for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, so much of this is a picture of what Jesus has done for us. Remember, Joshua is a real picture of Jesus here. Okay. And as Christ took on hell, defeated hell, and gave us the gift of eternal life, that is our eternal inheritance. But there are two kinds of inheritance as believers that we're going to receive. The first, remember, an inheritance is always related to death. And when an inheritance happens in a spiritual sense, the only person that dies here is me. There are two kinds of inheritance. The first is the inheritance that happens when I die to myself here on earth. When I die to sin and to the flesh, and when I accept what our Joshua, what Jesus did on the cross to receive his life and his spirit to live inside of me. So I have to die the first time to myself here on earth. And when I do that, I receive the inheritance of living a life for Christ, and not a perfect life, but an abundant life, as we were talking about earlier, and as Assam will talk about a little bit more, as an abundant life. And that's what happens as the inheritance here on earth. And then when I die, when this body dies and I go to heaven, there's now the inheritance of eternal life, of life forevermore in heaven with Christ. And I've never heard of anybody receiving two inheritances here on earth. Once you receive an inheritance, you get it, and that's kind of it. And this is God promising us a double blessing. It's not just about abundant life here on earth. as he over and over reminds the people of Israel about their inheritance, about what they have to look forward to. We've got to know that this is really Joshua here is orchestrating what, showing us through this beautiful orchestration of what Jesus did for us, where you get a double portion of inheritance. You get it here on earth when you die to yourself and receive the work that Jesus did for us on the cross. And then we get it once again in heaven. I don't know about you, but that got me really excited today. There's a great commentary by Matthew Henry, who's one of my favorites. And it says, Joshua must be here a type of Christ who has not only conquered the gates of hell for us, but has opened up the gates of heaven. And having purchased the eternal inheritance for all believers, will put them in possession of it.
So when we look at that, why did those 2.5 tribes, did not inherit in the promised land? So Pastor Edwin, you were not the only one that was there on Sunday. So apologies for Pastor Al and Pastor Mike. You're gonna have to hear my message again. And this was
Maybe
not,
a Dina too.
and oh yeah, true. But you guys need
Okay.
it. And I promise this was not planned at all. This was not planned at all. This was God is just until I think what when did I tell you I started thinking about that Sun Thursday? Thursday, I was like, I don't know. Dina's asking me, what are you gonna speak about on Sunday? And I said, I don't know. I just keep thinking, like, why aren't we going deeper with God? Why aren't we, just being completely surrendered and sold out and just following all the way? Why do we still have to go through the darkness of the night to start to fish something, to try to find something, and forget about what Jesus said, follow me? Why do I still have to tire myself out and find, that there's nothing in the darkness, in the boat, in anything that my hand's still holding on to? There is absolutely nothing, and that idea of the 2.5 tribes came to my mind. And we can read about it in Numbers chapter 32. So in a very long story short, in Numbers verse 32, while Moses was still alive, they conquered a couple of kings on the east side of the Jordan before they crossed the Jordan. Okay, 2.5 tribes who were very wealthy, had a lot of livestock, saw that that area, before the Jordan, the east side of the Jordan, saw that it was perfectly designed for shepherds, for livestock. It was truly one of, when you read about it, the land of Gilead and, this whole area, one of the most beautiful areas you will ever find. Just greeneries, trees, water. I mean, everything is so beautiful about this area. So the 2.5 tribes, the tribe of Reuben, the tribe of Gad, and then half of the tribe of Manasseh, they decided that, hey, this looks good. Why don't we just stay here? That's why when we're reading, when Dina was reading, as Joshua was dividing the land, he was dividing all the promised land, the west side of the Jordan, between 9.5 tribes, not the full 12 tribes, because 2.5 of them decided that they're going to live on the east side of the Jordan. Funny thing is that when Moses said no to them, they decided to come back and say, okay, fine, we will cross with you. We will go with you. Our women and children and livestock will stay here on the east side of the Jordan. They're not gonna cross. We're gonna cross with you. We're gonna fight. We're gonna help our brothers and sisters, take possession of their land, but then we will go back. You already crossed. You already felt the victory once. You already saw God's hand working. You already saw the Jericho walls come down. You already saw the hundreds of Jericho, right?
Yes, you have.
He's laughing. I don't know.
As you
So I got it right?
Yes, you got it.
Okay. So yeah, next time just do this. Because when you laugh, I don't know if I said it wrong or not. So they already saw the walls come down. They already saw God extending the day. They already saw so many things, and they still decided to come back. And this is a picture of believers, believers who left Egypt, who are taking the promises, who have a part of the inheritance, but they still like to go back and live in the flesh. You know, they still like to go back and get rid, like, you know, yes, we got the eternal life. We left the darkness. We left Egypt. We left wandering, but we don't want to be fully committed to God. And when you look at the church, when you look at Christianity, when I look at myself, I'm not pointing the finger at anyone. When I look at myself, I see so many moments of those where I'm like, you know, it's good to cross. It's good to, you know, to see these victories and these things. But, you know, the east of the Jordan also looks good. The greeneries look good. It just fits. The livestock, the mountains, the beautiful trees. You know, as I mentioned on Sunday, some of those trees actually had medical benefits to it. Like, I mean, it's good. It looks good there. And I get tricked into going back and living in the flesh again. You know, just securing my place, but not securing my joy. The joy that God gave me, the peace that God gave me, the victories that God gave me. And that's what happened to the 2.5 tribes. And when we look at them, I'm not going to go exactly what we did on Sunday, but you just have to wonder, why would anyone? And this is because this is a Bible study. Maybe we should leave this open, you know, for us to discuss it. You know, discuss it for us here so we can help each other, and also discuss it so we can understand what our brothers and sisters are going through. So I'm not just pointing the finger to someone say, oh, they're just sinners. No. Most of our brothers and sisters are trying. Most of our brothers and sisters are longing to cross the Jordan, but there's something tying them back. And it's a good thing for us as believers, as people who cross the Jordan and keep on going through that experience spiritually, day after day, keep going through the circumcision, you know, the circumcision of the heart day after day, you know, praying together, working together, helping each other. It's good for us to discuss these things. So when we see a brother or sister who decided not to cross with us, or having a season of staying back, instead of judging them, instead of pointing the finger at them, maybe we understand and know what they're going through so we can help them. You know, when you go to the hospital and you're all bleeding, or you're all like in pain and screaming, do you think the doctor is getting paid hundreds of thousands to point the finger at you? Look how sick he is. Look at all the blood that's coming out of his, you know, chin or heart or whatever. Look how whiny he is. Do you think the doctor will ever say that? What would happen to a doctor? Seriously, if you go to a doctor, to the emergency room, and a doctor looks at you and says, sorry, you're too sick. I'm sorry. No, you're too sick. You're bleeding too much. You're screaming too much. Get out of here. This place is not for you. That doctor would lose his license or her license in minutes. But do you know that we do that as believers? When we have brothers and sisters that are bleeding, that are in pain, that and right, and sometimes they brought this on themselves. I'm not taking that away. Okay, so we're all clear. I'm not taking that away. But it's still they're bleeding. And we could be the hand of the physician. I know I'm not the great physician. I know he is. but I could be that tool. You know, I could be that cotton ball. I could be that gauze, right? I could be that, you know, marham, cream or something that, yeah, I could be that. You could be that. You know, you could be the person that takes them to the hospital. You could be this person that just translates to them. You could be something in that. So, good idea for us to discuss why 2.5 tribes decided to not cross the Jordan. And Pastor Edwin's, you know, or and anyone else who wasn't paying attention last Sunday, the reasons that I came up with in my message were just a few things that were very simple. You know, based on what they said in Numbers 32. In Numbers 32, they came to Moses and said, "We have a lot of livestock, and this land is perfect for livestock." So one of the things that our brothers and sisters fall into is that they depend on tangible resources that they have. You know, they have so much, you know, and if I have it okay here, if I'm doing fine right here, why crossing the Jordan? Why circumcision? Why going around Jericho? I will have a migraine if I do that, or a vertigo if I keep going around. Why just leaving? I already have things that are working well for me right here, right in this place. You know? And that's a problem for a lot of believers. A lot of believers depend on their natural resources or the things that they have, and they hold on to it so tight that it keeps them from experiencing the fullness of the eternal life or the abundance life. So, you know. And then another thing is that they see that the land that they're in, it fits them perfectly. But that's not what God said. God didn't say, "I'm giving you this land." God said, "I'm giving you the other land, that land that flows with milk and honey." You know, this might look good, but it doesn't mean that this is the best for you. You know, and this is also a very dangerous zone. You know, because when we operate as believers, we need that wisdom from Christ, that not every choice, even if it matches, even if it fits, it doesn't mean it's the right choice. It doesn't mean that this is the right thing for me to do. It doesn't mean that this is the right place for me. It doesn't mean that this is where God wants me to be. So seriously, Lord, I mean, you want me to leave the greeneries, the mountains, the beauty, the trees, and all of that, and you want me to go to that area that has giants and walls and fighting and kings and all of that? Yes, you're actually more protected there in the middle of the vicious fight than you will be protected in the area that you choose for yourself. Because in the area where there is a vicious war, guess what? God is your protection. God is your refuge. God is your shield. God is your sword. God is your spear. God is everything for you. But in that beautiful area that you chose for yourself, while it's beautiful now, the season will change and the green will wither and the grass will go away and the fruits will go away and the protection will go away. And so when that season is over, you will be left with that deserted place by yourself. But on the other side, does God's season change? He does not change. He is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. I know this verse is not used here in that meaning, but he is the same God. He doesn't have bad seasons. You and I might have bad seasons. Our economy might have bad seasons. The countries might have bad seasons, but God does not have bad seasons. And then another thing is, they grabbed the first victory they found and they just dwelt in it. And that happens often to a lot of believers. So those 2.5 tribes, they just defeated some really strong kings, really big victories. And Moses was there, they defeated them. And they were like, "Hey, God gave us this land. God gave us this victory. God drove these kings out of our lives. Then that must be God's will for us to stay put." And that's a believer living in the flesh, not living in the spirit. They grabbed that victory from God, and they just dwell in it. And instead of moving into the next one, and instead of giving it back to God and say, Lord, you gave me this, I'm giving it right back to you. I'm not dwelling here. I'm not staying here. I'm just gonna move on, and I'm gonna move forward. So those believers, those brothers and sisters of ours, depended on their natural resources. They depended on what they saw that was good. This seems like it fits. And they stayed in the first victory they found, and they decided that this is it. We're not moving any forward, and we're not going anymore. We might go and help you, but we're going back to that place. We might go back just to make you happy, to just go with the motion, but we're not really going to live there. Our place, we decided that we're going back to the flesh. Yeah, I'm going to come Sunday. I might preach a great message. I might come Wednesday night. I might listen to a good message. I might go to this retreat, but my dwelling place isn't this. I'm going back to where it's comfortable for me, And that's a lot of believers. And we have to understand this as mature believers on this call. We have to understand this. A lot of our brothers and sisters are really struggling with this. Sometimes they just love that wind they had so much that they want to live in it. They want to live in the glory of that moment. They don't want to leave it, And it's our job to encourage each other and encourage others that there are more wins to have. Remember what we said last week? We're not fighting for victory. We're fighting from victory. Every place that you will step on is yours. Every army that comes against you will be defeated. Every weapon that's formed against you shall not prosper, but you will prosper because I know the plans that I have for you. That's what Jesus promised. That's what God promised, So leaving this victory is not going to be the last victory you see in your life. This is just the beginning. And when you get that victory tomorrow, look at each other and say, this is just the beginning. This is just the beginning. Seriously, this is just the beginning. I used to say that to Dina, and she would look at me and laugh. And I would say, this is just the beginning. This is just the beginning. This is just the beginning of new things that are going to happen, because it is just the beginning. Because I know that my God has a lot more for us and for all of us than we've ever seen or imagined. Not only in heaven, but also here on earth. Someone once said, yes, Jesus back in the days was strong. When Jesus was here, he was doing some miracles. The Jesus of the Bible, if he was around right now, I would believe in him. Because I saw him, I believe that he was raising the dead. I believe that he was, healing the lepers. I believe that he was doing all of that. But now I look around and I don't see any of these things. And I said to that person, well, I can tell you this. I was dead and I'm alive now. I was blind. I couldn't see. I couldn't see the danger that was in front of me. I couldn't see that I was ruining my life. I couldn't see that I was ruining people's life, but now I can see that, and I'm no longer ruining anyone's life. I can tell you this, I was very angry. I was an angry person. I know it's very hard for you to believe this, but I was an angry person. Now you can't see me not smiling, right? Right? Good.
That's right.
I was like, he might have not changed someone, he might not have raised someone in front of me, but I know he raised me from the dead. I know he might have not, opened someone's eyes, but I know he opened mine. I know he might have not changed my leprosy, like an actual physical leprosy, but I know I can't stop smiling now. While I was super angry and bitter and hateful and just wanted to hurt the whole world. If you would let me, I would literally bomb the whole world. That's how I thought. That's how I operated. And I know that he did something, and it's all just the beginning, because there is more for us. There's more for every single one of us. I want us to speak these words to other people. I want us to speak these words and encourage other believers that crossing from the flesh to the spirit, to the things of the spirit, to enjoy the abundant life, to enjoy the actual eternal life, to enjoy the life of Jesus. I have a confession to make. I still cannot stop reading the Gospels. I read other areas in the Bible, like for my study, but I still have to read the Gospels every single day. And I keep going through them. I finish them and I go back. You know why? Because I love how Jesus was acting. It just brings so much joy to my heart. I loved how he was acting. I loved how he was walking. I loved how he was treating people. It's so much joy to watch. It's so smart. It's so intelligent how he was answering questions, how he was asking questions. It was so kind how he was drawing close to people. That's the life that God is intending for us to live. So here's a question for you. What else do you think is holding people from crossing the Jordan? And I'm so sorry, this turned into a message. I got too excited all
No,
of a
it's so
sudden.
good.
I thought I was done with Sunday, but it's anyway. I know you guys don't judge me, and I know you receive the word, as it's not from me, it's from God. So what else do you think will stop us, will stop our brothers and sisters from crossing the Jordan and coming to Moses saying, "Do not let us cross"?
I believe is lack of faith, to trust, to believe the promises of God, their compliance with what they have, and not enough motivation, to keep going. That's what happened with us, in the flesh. Because sometimes we get what we want and then we stay there instead of trying to go forward, because there is more, to get. And I believe also, yeah, it happens to friends and family because of the lack of faith, they don't make the jump, to believe that
Like that.
there is Jesus there, is there, is waiting for us or for them, but they don't want to take the step of faith to cross the Jordan in this case, So, and then this kind of, like you said, is our job to let them know and find out what's going on in their lives. How can we help them to do that step of faith? And all these meetings that we have, I think it's building up in every one of us to do that type of work. And people, family members. And I think that's what it is. It's just lack of faith for us and lack of knowledge for the other people that don't know
It's
that
good.
there is a hope. Amen.
I loved what you just said. They're afraid to jump,
Yeah.
to make that jump. That's perfectly said.
I think fear too. I like not knowing what's to come on the other side. That's a scary thing, especially when you're comfortable on one end. I think the fear related to, I don't know, comfort's a big thing for me, you know that. Right. And often comfort is the safe place, right? That you all things are good. And then the thought of sort of leaving that comfort brings fear and anxiety. And so I imagine it was a risk. It was going to be a huge risk. They had something good on one end and they were about to leave it to go to the other side. I mean, literally. in that moment to cross the Jordan. And they had no idea what that was going to look like. Also, it was like 40 years removed from the Red Sea crossing. So it was, there was also like, you're right, what you're saying, Pastor Edwin, the faith piece, we have a very short-lived memory with the Lord, I think. And it was 40 years. I mean, I like when I try to, I'm 48. When I try to think of things that happened when I was 8 years old, that's a struggle. Obviously, but even older people, when you ask them to look back, that's a tough thing. That's a long time. And to think that like they had to rely on God again to create this miracle was just, it was too much for them.
Very good.
Some I like what you said when you said it's better to be in the middle of the battle where God is than any temporary peace without God being present. I don't think I quoted you exactly, but that's what I got out of it though. There's a scenario that we can kind of create in our minds of Dina mentioned the word comfort or preference. There's lack of faith, lack of trust. So we create the scenario in our mind, and all of it, you can root it, trace it back to our real knowledge of God. My knowledge of God, my understanding of who He is and how good He is and His desire for my life will cause me to follow Him wherever He tells me to go. My lack of understanding of who He is, I'll try to find what's best for me using my own resources.
That's good.
If I trust Him enough, knowing Him enough, if He's been trustworthy enough in my history, and He says to cross over this particular path, this Jordan River, then I will be all in. But if my image of God is shaken, it's not as secure, then I'm going to be tempted to rely on my own understanding. And I see that I have a lot of cattle, a lot of livestock, and these trees are beautiful, and the grass is beautiful, and this land is bountiful, and all the rest of it. And so I'm thinking with my logic, why should I leave this place? This is perfect.
Good.
These scenarios that we create in our minds, they need to really line up with the truth of who God really is so that I can learn to trust in Him. And it comes in baby steps. It comes in increments. It doesn't come with being willing to be th thrown into the fiery furnace or land in the lion's pit with Daniel. It comes with the smallest of things, like and Daniel would not eat of the king's delicacies. It begins with the small things that we're faithful in, and then we begin to grow little by little, trusting God because He takes us as a parent takes a small baby in little tiny stages to learn to trust. And once we get to a point where we can cross the Jordan, that's when He calls us to cross the Jordan.
It's good.
It's very good.
So the narrative that I've created in my mind of who God is needs to align with His truth. And I've always wondered why, when Jesus is describing Himself in John 14, when He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," I've always understood the first word and the third word. I'm the way, I get that. I am life, I get that. Why would He use the word truth in the middle? Because there's a lie that the enemy has tried to whisper in my ears about the narrative of who God is in my life.
Very good. So, from what I'm hearing is that the more we know God, the easier we can cross because we're going to trust Him, right? So that's for us, which is great. So our job is to help each other know God, right? And our job is to start letting people know who God is. really drawing. What did Paul say? لم أعزم على إني أرسم يسوع وحده الله ويسوع ابنه مصلوبا. Like in other, Pastor
I
Mike.
don't want to know anything among you other than Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Yes.
Yeah. And
How did I pull that one off? I have no idea.
Wow,
That
that's
was good.
good, Al.
Pastor Mark was about to answer. So,
No, we're just waiting for him.
he was chomping
Hey,
at the bit, man. Let me at it. He was a,
AI.
he was
He's
a, he was about,
in the
I
background,
saw him like, I'm,
running in the background.
I saw him unmuting himself. He's about to say. So when Paul was just really trying really hard to know God, it wasn't just for him. It wasn't for him. It was for him and for people around him, you know. So the more we see someone lacking that trust or faith, as Pastor Edwin said, for that jump, you know, we need to start saying, no, the water is fine. You can jump. You know, that thing is going to, you know, whatever that thing that you're holding, that will hold you. You know, you can have faith. You can have trust. You can jump and you will be, you know, you will be safe. A lot of times as believers, and let's be honest, we're not making that statement when we're very convinced about it. You know, we're not talking about how confident we are when we're jumping. And that will be translated to others as, oh, maybe we shouldn't jump at all. We're not joyfully making that jump. We're not glad to make that jump. We're not really, as we know Christ, to make him known. You know, it's one thing to know him, that's great, but to also make him known. You know, as we make him known, as we keep sharing that this is just the beginning, you know what? It will be contagious. It'll be contagious. Moses told those 2.5 tribes when they came to ask him if they can stay behind, he said, you will discourage everyone in the whole nation because he knows it was contagious. But just like laziness is contagious, lack of faith is contagious, can you imagine what faith will do? It will be so contagious. The smile will be contagious. The faith will be contagious. The kind words will be contagious. The love and the grace and mercy, all of that will be more contagious than the dead things that shouldn't be actually contagious. You know, so our job as believers, you know, now that we're putting this in this way, this is not just about those who are not crossing the Jordan. This is about us making it known why they should cross the Jordan, the benefits of crossing the Jordan, how wonderful life it looks like when we cross the Jordan. Was it full of pain? Absolutely. Was it full of excitement? Absolutely. Was it full of struggles? Yes, it was. But was it worth it? Absolutely, it was. You know, a lot of times we glorify the struggles more than we glorify the victories after the struggles or the benefits of the struggles. I can tell you this before God, every time I went through a season of pain, I can go back and thank God for it because that season taught me so much about God, about me, about things that I needed to be healed from, about things that God wanted me to use me for, about things I understand now that I didn't understand before. And the next painful season will bring nothing but goodness to my life and to my family because it's coming. I know it's coming. You know, it's until the day we see him, struggles will come, you know, temptations will come, fights will come, all of it will come. But we are fighting for own victory. I know that after the season of struggle, victory will be there. It's waiting for me. It's not a matter of we will win or not. It's about a matter of when we will win because the win is already given. It's not if. There is no doubt in my mind that God will win, that God will achieve his purpose. It's just a matter of when and what do I need to learn during this season of trial and struggles. So this is on us. This is not just on the 2.5 tribes. This is on us as well. We need to build bridges. We need to wave from the other side. We need to cross and bring people. We need to do whatever it is that we need to do to make sure they understand that the other side of the Jordan is much better than anything that they will leave on this side of the Jordan. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Anything else? Nada?
Okay.
So just really quick, the consequences were really bad for those people. It didn't end well. It didn't end well at all. They were the first to fall. They were the first to be taken into captivity. They were the first to be taken advantage of. They were the first to lose it all. I don't want to be in that place for me or for you. I don't want to be in that place for our brothers and sisters. It's not easy. It's not easy. Look at what happened to Lot. He lost everything. Look at what happened to everyone who chose to live in the flesh. Look at what happened to Samson. One of the most painful verses, when he didn't know that the Spirit of the Lord had left him. He kept going down the same way. And then at the end, his family went and picked up his body after he killed those Palestinians and killed himself with them. That's not the life that God intended for this mighty man to live. They die alone. They struggle. They live in pain and suffering. The children that they think that they were protecting and building a good future for and all of that are the first to go. This is dangerous. Living in the flesh is dangerous. It's dangerous for us. It's dangerous for people around us. It's dangerous for generations to come, but we can break this right now.
That's right.
We can break that cycle right now by surrendering to God, by crossing, by making that jump, trusting that God will catch us and we will experience something that we've never experienced before. Will it be easy? No. Will it be worth it? Absolutely. Okay. That's all I have for today.
So great. Okay, pray. Pray for us.
Well, anyone else has anything else to share?
Okay, great. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much. We thank you for this word. Just as it was fresh today, and new and a new perspective on it. Lord, I thank you that you have for us to be a part of your community of believers, that you don't want us isolated on the east side of the Jordan, that you don't want us away from the things that you're creating with your people, Lord, that you want an inheritance for us, Lord, that's what you have for us, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord, not to be a people that would stand back and say, I'm going to stay here where it's comfortable, where the places I know. Lord, help us to pursue you, Lord. Pursue you and pursue the things that you have for us, Lord. And with it will come life and healing and goodness and abundance in every area, Lord. And I just thank you so much for this word that you're opening up before our eyes. I know there are scriptures that maybe in the past I literally skimmed through and didn't stop at. But Lord, thank you for allowing us to stop and to settle here and to hear the things that you have for us, Lord. I pray for everybody here on this call and anybody listening and watching after, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would touch each and every heart right now, exactly where they are, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, get ready for next week. Next week is going to be really exciting. It's the dividing to the Levites, and they're going to have the best portion of all. Okay, so read about it, study about it, and we'll meet next week, God willing.
Yes.